BBC Radio Leicester, it's 10 past nine. I love this next story. It's fascinating. Are you an Anderson? Are you a Bailey or a Gamble? I know Baileys and Gambles, I should be calling them immediately. Well, you could well be sitting on an unclaimed payout because it's thought that there are over 100 unclaimed estates in our county from people who died with seemingly no next of kin. And if your name matches one on a list, you could be entitled. Danny Curran is the MD of an organisation called Finders International. Hillary's also a beneficiary. She joins us in the studio too. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Danny, just talk us through this. This kind of, you know, Air Hunters, for example, big TV show, has really lit this area up a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's we've just finished filming actually series 12, so we've been involved for 10 years now. And what it's done is it's given people an insight into the kind of work that we do, that for us is an everyday occurrence, but for people like Hillary and other beneficiaries we contact, it's a bolt from the blue, and they're not sure what's going on. So it provides an interesting insight into the family tree, but also a potential windfall at the end of the day.
And it's one of those sort of apocryphal things of folklore, isn't it? Oh, you know, long lost uncle left us all he had, you know, but actually in principle that does happen and happens, you know, regularly enough for you to run a business around it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's, I mean, I've been in the business 27 years. And it's almost Dickensian in the way that, you know, people think of it, this long-lost family member. But it happens every day of the week. You hear a lot of stories about disconnected families, social isolation, people keeping themselves to themselves or loners. And these are often the cases that result in when they pass away, no one knows who the family are, and they need to be found and they need to be contacted, of course.
And in some cases, you know, somebody, maybe they are estranged from their family, maybe through no ill will particularly, because it just happens. But, you know, if they own a house, for example, by its very nature, there is a significant asset that will have been presumably sold off, and the money's sitting there somewhere.
Well, this is often the problem, because local authorities may call Finders in a situation where they have an empty property that's owned by someone, they don't know who. And if that owner has passed away, it could form part of their estate. So all of a sudden you have an estate that could be of a significant value, because property, depending on the condition and the area and everything else, could be worth something. It's usually the main asset to an estate.
Hillary, what happened to you?
We had a letter delivered in the post one Saturday morning. Wasn't sure if it was a scam or not, and had to wait till the Monday morning. So ring up Finders and find out more about it.
And we were talking off air about the fact, I would imagine, Danny, that one of the issues you have is that, you know, automatically, I'm sorry, but if somebody sent me a letter through the post, or I got a telephone call or an email saying you're due this money, I would just say, oh, come on, it's the same as the person's, you know, all of these scams that we get. But in this case, it's true.
No, yeah, in all fairness, I mean, that's what most people would think. Where the BBC show Air Hunters has been useful is that many people have seen it. It's a daytime show. But when we're contacting people, obviously, is the nature of the work. It's often elderly people who may be at home, who may have seen the show. So it really provides us with that level of reassurance that was missing prior to the show being on air. So the TV show is a good point of reference. We can reassure people by, look, we're on the BBC for years doing this show. And hopefully that's a sign of, well, yourself, you're on the BBC. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully that means something to people. But then you back that up with it's part of a legal process. So we'd be saying to you, well, your name, was your parents' names X and Y? And if you said yes, and if you said, well, your grandparents' names, these as well, to verify it. So we're not just coming to you with, give us your bank details or some kind of scam thing like that.
All that business where you pay us £100 and we'll do, that's nothing.
No, never pay money up front. That's the golden rule.
So Hillary, tell me the story then. What happened? What happened for you?
I think it was your half?
It was my half-brother, and I had not seen him for quite a few years. Didn't know where he was living. Presumably he didn't know where I was living. Just literally, as you said.
Drifted apart.
I think it was a long time, wasn't it? How long were you?
It was probably about 20-odd years.
Gosh. So actually, it's on the one hand, I mean, of course, it's thrilling if you suddenly find that you've got a windfall coming your way. But it's also, it must be quite sad too at the same time, isn't it?
It was sad to know that he'd died, and he'd died alone. He was in a care home, I believe it was. So he wasn't actually alone, but he was away from his family. But
And then what was the what is the process that Hillary would have gone through subsequent to that?
Well, this was a strange one because he changed his name as well. Oh. So Hillary's family name had nothing to do with it when we first got the case, and we had to work out who this guy really was. So he'd changed his name. The local authority up in Doncaster got in touch, and they said, you know, can you help us trace the next of kin? And we worked out...
Ronan Keating and Loving Each Day. It's BBC Radio Leicester. It's 9:10. I love this next story. It's fascinating. Are you an Anderson? Are you a Bailey or a Gamble? I know Baileys and Gambles, I should be calling them immediately. Well, you could well be sitting on an unclaimed payout because it's thought that there are over 100 unclaimed estates in our county from people who died with seemingly no next of kin. And if your name matches one on a list, you could be entitled. Danny Curran is the MD of an organisation called Finders International. Hillary's also a beneficiary. She joins us in the studio too. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Danny, just talk us through this. This kind of, you know, Air Hunters, for example, big TV show, has really lit this area up a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's we've just finished filming actually series 12, so we've been involved for 10 years now. And what it's done is it's given people an insight into the kind of work that we do that for us is an everyday occurrence, but for people like Hillary and other beneficiaries we contact, it's a bolt from the blue and they're not sure what's going on. So it provides an interesting insight into the family tree, but also a potential windfall at the end of the day.
And it's one of those sort of apocryphal things of folklore, isn't it? Oh, you know, long lost uncle left us all he had, you know, but actually in principle that does happen and happens, you know, regularly enough for you to run a business around it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've been in the business 27 years. And it's almost Dickensian in the way that, you know, people think of it, this long-lost family member. But it happens every day of the week. You hear a lot of stories about disconnected families, social isolation, people keeping themselves to themselves or loners. And these are often the cases that result in when they pass away, no one knows who the family are, and they need to be found and they need to be contacted, of course.
And in some cases, you know, somebody, maybe they are estranged from their family, maybe through no ill will particularly, because it just happens. But, you know, if they own a house, for example, by its very nature, there is a significant asset that will have been presumably sold off, and the money's sitting there somewhere.
Well, this is often the problem, because local authorities may call Finders in a situation where they have an empty property that's owned by someone, they don't know who. And if that owner has passed away, it could form part of their estate. So all of a sudden you have an estate that could be of a significant value, because property, depending on the condition and the area and everything else, could be worth something. It's usually the main asset to an estate.
Hillary, what happened to you?
We had a letter delivered in the post one Saturday morning. Wasn't sure if it was a scam or not, and had to wait till the Monday morning to ring up Finders and find out more about it.
And well, we were talking off air about the fact, I would imagine, Danny, that one of the issues you have is that, you know, automatically, I'm sorry, but if somebody sent me a letter through the post, or I got a telephone call or an email saying you're due this money, I would just say, oh, come on, it's the same as the person's, you know, all of these scams that we get. But in this case, it's true.
No, yeah, in all fairness, I mean, that's what most people would think. Where the BBC show Air Hunters has been useful is that many people have seen it. It's a daytime show. But when we're contacting people, obviously is the nature of the work, it's often elderly people who may be at home, who may have seen the show. So it really provides us with that level of reassurance that was missing prior to the show being on air. So the TV show is a good point of reference. We can reassure people by, look, we're on the BBC for years doing this show. And hopefully that's a sign of, well, yourself, you're on the BBC. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully that means something to people. But then you back that up with it's part of a legal process. So we'd be saying to you, was your parents' names X and Y? And if you said yes, and if you said, were your grandparents' names these as well, to verify it. So we're not just coming to you with, give us your bank details or some kind of scam thing like that.
All that business where you pay us £100 and we'll do, that's nothing.
No, never pay money up front. That's the golden rule.
So Hillary, tell me the story then. What happened? What happened for you?
I think it was your half?
It was my half-brother, and I had not seen him for quite a few years. Didn't know where he was living. Presumably he didn't know where I was living. Just as you said,
Drifted apart.
I think it was a long time, wasn't it? How long were you?
It was probably about 20-odd years.
Gosh. So actually, it's on the one hand, I mean, of course, it's thrilling if you suddenly find that you've got a windfall coming your way. But it's also, it must be quite sad too at the same time, isn't it?
It was sad to know that he'd died, and he'd died alone. He was in a care home, I believe it was. So he wasn't actually alone, but he was away from his family. But
and then what was the what is the process that Hilary would have gone through subsequent to that?
Well, this was a strange one because he changed his name as well.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So Hilary's family name had nothing to do with it when we first got the case, and we had to work out who this guy really was. So he'd changed his name. The local authority up in Doncaster got in touch, and they said, you know, can you help us trace the next of kin? And we worked out who he really was, and then found out that there were some half-blood siblings, as we call it, you know, half-brothers and sisters, contacted Hilary. And then what happens is the estate administration is performed. So the estate effectively is wound up, all the assets are brought in, the debts are paid, any tax liability is paid, and then the funds are ultimately distributed to the next of kin. So the process takes a few months, I think, before you actually get the money. But during that process, one of the nice things about the TV show, I was saying to Hilary earlier, is that they do a bit more of the social history. So you find out a bit more about the actual person and who they were and what they did. And, you know, there's great stories coming up in the next series as well. But, you know, that's one thing in your case where you still have limited knowledge of...
I've got no knowledge at all as to what happened in his life.
Of how he ended up and where he ended up. So there's still a bit of a mystery there. At least you have closure, you know, when you contact people and they say, well, at least you know now that your half sibling has passed away. He changed his name to this. This is where he lived, and that kind of thing.
I'm not going to ask you how much the bequest was or the estate was, because we're rude to do so. But by the very fact that Danny's involved, because that has to be significant enough to put the enormous amount of work into tracking you down, and that presumably is, to any extent, life changing. Because an unexpected, you know, significant sum of money comes your way. That must be, it's worth having, isn't it?
Well, anything is worth having. It wasn't a fortune. But it all helps. Yes.
Yeah. And Danny, that's the point, because, I mean, you know, if it's 500 quid, it's, to be brutal about it, it's not, you'd spend easily that on just the logistics, the research, the people on the ground, all of that stuff that wouldn't be worth you as a business doing it.
No, I mean, as a business, what we do is we do a lot of charitable work, a lot of pro bono work, basically. For the arrangement with local authorities is that even if someone has no money, we still find the next of kin on the basis that they'll give us the cases where the person does have an estate.
Yeah.
So we do all the free ones as well, which is nice for us, because we can give something back to the community and help locate people and get people in touch. And they can often be there in time for the funeral if we're contacted early enough.
Yes.
But there's a business to run at the end of the day. So we try and focus our attention on getting everyone that's entitled, which often means that even though the estate might be quite large, the individual shares aren't that huge.
Yeah.
So the typical scenario would mean that there's 30 to 50 beneficiaries, each inheriting a modest sum.
Yeah.
The classic sort of £1 million windfall to one person has probably happened once or twice in my career. It's just not very common, especially under English intestacy law, where there's no will. We distribute estates amongst quite a few people.
Mm.
Other countries have more restrictive laws, where you might just find the nearest or the oldest relative.
And presumably some of these cases, that a will have been left, but for whatever reason isn't traced and so on and so forth. So actually, you know, somebody may have left a will, even if they didn't, you know, didn't know each other particularly well, but somebody may have said, well, I leave it to my niece or my nephew or my last surviving relative or whatever.
This is one of the problems we have. We have a website called unclaimedestates.com where we list the government published estates, but that doesn't mean there isn't a will. We have an industry association which we're regulated by, called the International Association of Professional Probate Researchers. And one of the campaigns we have there is to try and get the government to actually look for a will before they advertise an estate, because they're not doing it.
Because you could do all this work and then actually discover that there is a will and it's going to somebody completely
different,
a doctor down the road.
It's happened many times. We've had shows on TV where we've located people throughout Europe, go into the house, rummage through the wardrobe, and there's a will. And it's left literally to the cat's home. We've had that But that's part of the job.
Well, it is. And listen, so just very briefly then, this list of names we've got, these are people you are specifically looking for. Billingham, Barker, Barton, Bailey, Gamble, as I mentioned, Cooper, Eves.
Yeah.
Gray. My grandmother was a Gray. Ask about that.
You never know.
You never know. Greaves, Griffiths, Hanley, Harrison, Hayes, Collodi, Cooko, Kuzminda, Johnson, Jennings.
And I found a couple of Rafferty's for your producer.
Did
as
you
well.
Really? Look at his face. Look at his light. He's like, wow. He's like, what? Listen, so people go onto their website, or onto your website, they can see these names, can they?
Yeah, we use the government data on a website called unclaimedestates.com. Yeah. And they can sift and sort it through forenames, surnames, area, lots of different variables. So if you think you're connected to someone and you want our help, then you can email us and we'll try and sort it out for you.
Great. Raven. Great names in here. Pitman Jones. Can't be many Pitman Joneses around.
There can't be, surely.
Newman Murray. Paglis. Anyway, thank you so much for coming in. Hilary and Danny, thank you. When's the new series out?
The newest is, well, it's normally shown around about March every year. There may be a repeat of Series 11, but as I say, we're just putting the finishing touches to Series 12. Should be on air in March next year.
I'm always hooked on it. I think it's an A series. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Pleasure.
Thank you.